box. They were made of black lace so delicate that Mel feared they would tear at the slightest touch. Both the bra and panties had several thin straps attached at various points around the top and sides. Mel removed her towel and put the lingerie on. It wasn't easy with all the straps. She buckled the cuffs around her wrists snugly. Mel turned to the mirror. She was surprised by what she saw. Her long, dark hair, still damp from the shower, was tied up in a messy bun, leaving her shoulders and chest bare. The straps on the bra crisscrossed across the tops of her breasts. The Brazilian panties covered only the tops of her ass cheeks. Mel liked the way the lingerie looked on her. She liked the way it made her feel. Sexy. Powerfully so. Would Vanessa find her irresistible in it? There was something exciting about the idea that she could drive Vanessa wild in her own way. Another text arrived. "Send me a picture." Mel smiled. She snapped a photo in the mirror with her phone and sent it to Vanessa. She waited. A minute passed, then two, then five. Her impatience got the best of her. "Did you get it?"
"Yes. You look ravishing. I'm going to enjoy making you come apart. V."
Mel sprawled out on her bed. What naughty things did Vanessa have planned for her? If she closed her eyes, she could almost feel Vanessa's fingertips running along her curves. She could almost smell her perfume and taste her soft lips. No. The last thing Mel needed was another cold shower. She glanced at her phone. Nothing more from Vanessa. Mel wasn't surprised. That V at the end of Vanessa's text always meant one thing. This conversation is over. The message came the following Sunday morning. Mel had slept in after a late-night shift at the lounge. She rolled over in a daze and picked her phone up from the nightstand.
"Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., I'll pick you up. Wear my gifts. And only my gifts."
Mel's heart jumped. Finally! Her stomach dropped as she read it again. Only her gifts? Did Vanessa expect Mel to leave the house in nothing but lingerie? And that lingerie? It barely counted as underwear. Another text followed a minute later.
"You may wear a coat and shoes, but nothing else."
Mel rolled onto her back, a smile on her face. Finally, her torment would end. Vanessa's mind games were far more potent than any whip. At least, that was what Mel thought. Chapter 10. Mel left her apartment at 7:55 p.m. the next day, keenly aware of how naked she was under her long coat. The leather cuffs peeked out from her sleeves. The day had passed with excruciating slowness. She'd barely been able to concentrate in class. She stepped out onto the sidewalk. A large black Mercedes-Benz was parked out in front of her apartment building. Standing next to it was the sharply dressed, dark-haired woman who had delivered Vanessa's gifts. So she was Vanessa's driver. Something told Mel that hand-delivering gifts to her boss's lover in a dodgy part of town wasn't part of the job description. Perhaps Vanessa's expectation that everyone cater to her whims went beyond her sex life. The driver opened the back door.
"Hello, Melanie."
Vanessa sat in the back seat, her legs crossed in front of her. She wore a long, dark coat and black stockings and heels. "Hi." Mel hopped into the back seat next to her.
"Thank you, Elena," Vanessa said to the driver.
Elena nodded and shut the door. Shortly afterward, the car pulled out and joined the slow stream of traffic. It was a much smoother ride than Vanessa's convertible. "Where are you taking me?" Mel asked Vanessa. I'm going to show you one of the other clubs I own, Vanessa said. They were going somewhere public? Mel barely had a thread of clothing on her. Vanessa read her mind. Don't worry, it's closed. We'll have the place to ourselves. Mel sat back. Why would Vanessa be taking her to an empty club? She remembered something that Vanessa had said in her room all those nights ago, that not all of her clubs were as respectable as the lounge. Was Vanessa taking her to one of those? Mel looked out through the tinted windows, vainly trying to see where they were going. The privacy screen between the front and back seats blocked her view of the windshield. She sat back in defeat.
So, Melanie, Vanessa said, have you been following my rule?
Yes, Vanessa. Mel didn't know when she had started to answer to Vanessa like an obedient schoolgirl, but it seemed to please Vanessa.
Really? You didn't slip up? Not even once?
No, Vanessa. Mel couldn't tell whether Vanessa was pleased or disappointed.
But did you want to?
God, yes.
That must have been agonizing.
Vanessa slid a hand underneath Mel's coat and up the inside of her thigh. The ache deep inside Mel grew. She closed her eyes.
Did you think about me while I was gone?
Vanessa brushed her fingertips all the way up between Mel's legs. The thin panties were no barrier to Vanessa's probing fingers.
Did you imagine all the things I'm going to do to you?
Yes, Vanessa. Every single day.
It will be worth the wait. I promise.
Mel bit back a moan. She didn't want to test whether the privacy barrier was soundproof, but Vanessa was doing everything she could to derail her efforts.
Now I know you're telling the truth about not touching yourself.
Vanessa pressed her finger into the wet spot on Mel's panties.
This is far too easy.
Mel whimpered. If Vanessa wanted to, she could make Mel come in seconds. The car glided to a stop.
We're here.
Vanessa withdrew her hand and sat back. Mel flattened out her coat and slowed her breaths. She was beginning to realize that Vanessa torturing her like this was not going to be a one-time occurrence. Elena opened Mel's door. Mel thanked her and stepped out onto the sidewalk. At some point during their drive, they had crossed into a nicer part of town. Mel scanned the shop fronts before her. She wasn't sure what she was looking for.
Here we are, Vanessa said.
Mel followed the path of Vanessa's eyes. Nestled between two boutiques was a small black door. There was a sign above the door with a name written on it in red cursive script. Lilith's Den.
It's closed on Mondays, but I have a key.
Vanessa pulled a key out of her purse and unlocked the door. They walked inside.
This is it. Lilith's Den.
Mel looked around in awe. The large space looked like any other nightclub, but in addition to the tables and bar stools, there were some unconventional furnishings scattered around the room. A 7-foot-tall wooden cross with small metal rings at each of the ends. A bench that resembled a horse with leather cuffs attached to it. A long, wide table with padding on the top and rings all along the sides, which Mel assumed were tie points.
What is this place? Mel asked.
It's a place where people can let go of their inhibitions and explore all of their wildest, darkest dreams, Vanessa said. Mel's eyes widened. So, it's some kind of sex club?
More of a BDSM club.
Vanessa strode into the middle of the empty room.
This is why I'm so private. This is a big part of my lifestyle. Well, not so much these days, but at one point it felt like it was my entire world.
Vanessa looked off into the distance. For a moment, Mel caught a glimpse of what lay behind Vanessa's veil. but then the usual self-possessed expression returned.
This is my secret. In addition to a few clubs like the lounge, I own Lilith's and several similar establishments in other cities, all separate from my investment firm. I'm not ashamed of my interest in BDSM, but there are a lot of intolerant people out there, especially in my line of work. The gossip and rumors are a distraction, and quite frankly, what I do in my leisure time is no one's business but my own. Vanessa smiled.
So, what do you think?
It's nice. Mel liked it more than the lounge, which she had always found a bit too glitzy. Really nice.
Lilith's isn't your average BDSM club. Only the best of everything. Lilith's caters to the same sort of clientele as the lounge. It's no surprise that the rich and powerful like to exercise their power in other ways.
Mel surveyed the room. There was a set of heavy wooden double doors toward the back of the club.
What's behind those doors?
That leads to the private rooms upstairs. And that's where we're headed.
Vanessa took off her coat, revealing a black, form-fitting dress that was cut low enough to be tantalizing, while still leaving something to the imagination. And Mel's imagination was running wild.
But before we go up, Vanessa looked Mel up and down. I want to see how my gifts look on you.
Mel untied her coat and slid it off her shoulders. Her skin prickled under Vanessa's smoldering gaze. For a moment, Mel thought that Vanessa was going to tear off the little clothing that Mel still had on and take her then and there. But Vanessa restrained herself. She wasn't going to deviate from her plans, and it was clear that she did have plans. Mel fiddled with the cuffs at her wrists as Vanessa's eyes did one last lap over Mel's body.
Follow me, Vanessa said.
Mel followed Vanessa toward the double doors. Half naked in this huge, empty space, Mel couldn't help but feel exposed. Vanessa pushed open the doors. They made their way up the stairs and were greeted with a long corridor with rows of doors on either side. Vanessa opened a door at random.
Go ahead. Have a look inside.
Mel peered into the room. The entire floor was essentially one giant bed with pillows thrown around haphazardly. It wasn't hard to figure out what that room was for. Mel opened another door. It looked like a normal bedroom with a king-sized bed in the middle, but one of the side walls was made up entirely of mirrors.
They're one-way mirrors, Vanessa said. There's a viewing room next door. Some people like the taboo of being watched. Others like to watch. All parties have to consent, of course.
Mel wandered down the corridor, opening door after door. There were rooms designed to fulfill every fantasy, from the common to the unusual. There was a classroom, a doctor's office, a jail cell. It was like some sort of kinky hotel. They reached the end of the hall. Mel stopped in front of a door. Unlike the others, it had a nameplate above it. The Scarlet Room. Mel reached out and turned the door handle. It was locked.
I see you found the Scarlet Room.
Vanessa walked up behind her. She had a key with a red tassel hanging from it in her hand.
You'll get to see what's inside in a moment.
Mel was practically bursting out of her skin. She wanted to see what was behind that door, but she wanted Vanessa even more.
Before we go in, what's your safe word?
Velvet, Mel said.
Good. Remember, using your safe word isn't a sign of weakness. When you need to use it, use it.
Okay. The seriousness of Vanessa's expression told Mel that this command was more important than any of the others Vanessa had given her.
One last thing. Do you trust me?
Yes.
The most important part of all of this is trust. You trusting that I will keep you safe. And me trusting you to communicate honestly about your limits and what you're thinking and feeling. Do you promise to do that for me?
Yes, Vanessa.
Good. Trust me. Listen to everything I say. And know that I'll be right there by your side the entire time.
Mel nodded.
Vanessa unlocked the door, and they entered the Scarlet Room.
Chapter 11. Welcome to the Scarlet Room, Vanessa said. Mel looked around. The room resembled a Victorian parlor, complete with red vintage wallpaper and ornate furniture, but with the inclusion of a large four-poster bed. What was on the walls told a different story. The shelves, hooks, and cabinets all held a vast array of BDSM equipment. What interested Mel the most was a rack on the far wall. It was a cornucopia of whips, including a long, thin riding crop. Unlike the others, the crop had a crimson handle. It was the same one that had hung from Vanessa's bed at the lounge and had haunted Mel since the day she stepped into that room.
See something you like? Vanessa asked.
Mel stared at the rack.
Are you going to use one of these on me?
Do you want me to?
Mel nodded, her pulse quickening.
Vanessa sidled up behind her and draped her arms around Mel's shoulders.
Say it. Tell me exactly what you want me to do to you.
Please, Vanessa, I want you to use the riding crop on me.
Okay. But I plan to do far more with you than that.
Vanessa walked to the center of the room and beckoned Mel with a finger.
Come here.
Mel followed, hypnotized by Vanessa's voice. Vanessa took Mel's hands and brought her wrists together. Out of nowhere, Vanessa produced a short chain and clipped the cuffs to each other.
Raise your arms above your head, Vanessa said.
Mel looked up as she lifted her arms. She was right underneath an elaborate iron chandelier. A long piece of rope dangled from the center of it. Sure enough, Vanessa reached up and tied the rope to the chain at Mel's wrists, leaving her strung up with her arms stretched almost to their limits. Her feet were flat on the floor, but every muscle in her body was taut. Vanessa cupped Mel's face in her hands.
How do you feel?
Fine. Mel remembered Vanessa's words about honesty. A little anxious, but not in a bad way.
Vanessa kissed Mel gently on the lips. Trust me.
Vanessa disappeared somewhere behind her. Mel heard the rustle of fabric and turned her head. Vanessa had slipped out of her dress, revealing a lacy black bra and matching panties. Her lace-topped thigh-high stockings were held up by a garter belt.
Eyes forward, unless you want me to blindfold you.
No, Vanessa. Mel snapped her head back around. There was a challenge in Vanessa's voice that Mel didn't dare to test.
Stay perfectly still.
Mel heard the click of Vanessa's heels on the floor behind her. When Vanessa came back into view, she had the riding crop in her hand. But instead of coming back to Mel, Vanessa went to sit on the end of the bed. She leaned back and crossed her legs, admiring her handiwork.
You look delectable tied up and waiting for me like that.
Mel tested her restraints. They held fast, and the sturdy chandelier didn't move at all. Vanessa smiled.
You've been waiting for this, haven't you?
Yes. Mel could feel the blood rushing through her veins.
Yes? Just yes?
Yes, Vanessa.
That's better.
Finally, Vanessa stood up.
She circled around Mel, trailing her fingers across the back of Mel's thighs. Mel felt like an insect caught in Vanessa's web. Only she wanted to be eaten. Vanessa tapped the tip of the crop against her palm. Do you know why so many people find the combination of pain and pleasure so irresistible? No, Vanessa. It's because pain is a stimulant, just like a drug. It puts your nervous system on high alert and makes your body hypersensitive in the best possible way. Something smooth brushed against the back of Mel's neck. She froze. Was it the tip of the riding crop? What was her safe word again? Violet? Velvet. Mel was nowhere near the point of using it, but she found it reassuring all the same. Relax, Vanessa said softly. Mel breathed the tension out of her body. Vanessa snaked the riding crop across Mel's back, lower and lower, all the way down to where Mel's thighs met. Mel inhaled sharply as heat spread through her body. The mixture of anticipation and arousal was a heady cocktail. Vanessa pulled the riding crop away. Mel squeezed her eyes shut, listening for what was to come. She felt like she was at the top of a roller coaster, waiting for the inevitable drop. But instead of a forceful strike, Mel felt a firm tap on her ass. The impact made her jump up onto her toes, but it didn't hurt. Vanessa continued, tapping out a series of short, sharp swats with the tip of the riding crop that left a pleasant tingling behind. Murmurs fell from Mel's lips. Slowly, Vanessa increased the intensity. Slowly, Mel's cheeks began to burn, but it only added to the heat between her legs. Vanessa pressed her body up against Mel's and ran her hands over Mel's stinging cheeks. That feeling, that rush, it's your body reacting to the perceived danger. Every stroke brings you closer and closer to an elevated state of awareness. She leaned in and whispered into Mel's ear. And tonight, I'm going to take you all the way there. Mel heard the whoosh of the riding crop through the air, then felt the sting of the whip on her ass cheek. She hissed. That was more than a firm tap. Mel reflexively tried to bring her hands down to protect herself, but they were bound above her head. Vanessa snapped the crop against Mel's other cheek. Her skin stung, but it wasn't a bad kind of pain. It was the kind that caused her nipples to peak and set her body alight. Your skin looks so lovely, striped in pink. Vanessa trailed the supple tip of the riding crop over Mel's ass. How are you doing, Melanie? I'm good, Mel said. I'm better than good. Vanessa continued, alternating between gentle brushes of the riding crop and short, sharp stings, gently caressing Mel's body in between. When every inch of her cheeks had been marked by the whip, Vanessa moved on to the back of Mel's thighs. More than once, the crop hit dangerously close to her most sensitive parts. It was all so delicious. The piercing kiss of the crop, the thrill of not knowing when the whip would fall, the adrenaline coursing through her body, the experience threatened to overwhelm her. Do you want more? Vanessa asked. Mel's whole body was alive with energy. Yes, Vanessa. Ask nicely. Please, Vanessa, can I have more? Yes, my pet. Vanessa tipped Mel's chin up with her fingers and kissed her softly. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Mel did as Vanessa instructed. She closed her eyes and let everything else fade away. And slowly, she slipped into a state of bliss. She lost track of time. She lost track of everything around her. All that Mel was aware of was her own body and Vanessa's presence and the pure, concentrated pleasure that Vanessa was giving her. The whip disappeared and was replaced by the press of Vanessa's hands.
They felt cool against her burning skin.
Do you feel that? The pain has heightened your senses.
Vanessa slid a hand up underneath Mel's bra and caressed her breasts.
Every nerve in your body is awake. Every sensation is amplified.
She pinched Mel's nipple firmly. The throbbing deep within Mel intensified. Vanessa's hands roamed her body, teasing, brushing, tickling. Vanessa slid the riding crop between Mel's legs and flicked. Mel gasped. It was like a bolt of lightning shooting straight into her core.
I'm impressed, Vanessa said. I thought you'd be begging by now.
Mel's only response was a whimper.
Do you want me to give you your release?
Vanessa grazed Mel's inner thighs with her fingertips. Mel nodded. Vanessa slipped her fingers into Mel's panties and between her lips and strummed her swollen nub, eliciting endless moans from deep within Mel's chest. After going for so long without an orgasm, it didn't take long until Mel was close to the edge.
Go on, Vanessa said. Come for me.
Mel convulsed against Vanessa's body, her lips a wide O. She collapsed in Vanessa's arms, overcome by the feeling that she had floated out of her body. Somehow, Mel found herself on the bed, her wrists unbound, Vanessa's arms slung across her small frame. Her body still tingled like her nerves were alight.
Welcome back, Vanessa said.
That was incredible, Mel murmured. Was this what Vanessa meant when she said she was going to make Mel come apart? Because she had succeeded.
That, Melanie, was subspace.
Vanessa rolled over to face Mel.
It's a natural high, a rush of adrenaline and endorphins triggered by all the sensations that your body was experiencing. At least, that's the physical side. There's far more to subspace than that. Or so I'm told.
Mel knew exactly what Vanessa was talking about. At that moment, when the rest of the world had fallen away, it was like nothing she'd ever experienced, and the connection she'd felt toward Vanessa had been sublime.
How are you feeling now? Vanessa asked.
I'm good. I'm amazing. Mel reached out toward Vanessa. She was craving the other woman's touch. Vanessa placed her hand on Mel's side.
Here, lay on your stomach.
Mel rolled over. Vanessa moved in closer, her body pressed against Mel's side, and ran her hand down to Mel's cheeks. They were covered in angry red welts. Vanessa traced gentle lines over them with her fingertips while planting soft kisses on the back of Mel's shoulder.
Mel purred.
She liked that tender, sweet side of Vanessa. She wondered how often Vanessa let anyone see it. She closed her eyes. This was by far the best part of her night. Mel and Vanessa sat in silence as Elena drove them back to Mel's apartment. Slowly, Mel's high started to fade and exhaustion set in.
Are you all right? Vanessa asked.
Yeah. I'm just really tired all of a sudden. Vanessa examined Mel with a frown.
You're dropping. Come here.
Vanessa pulled Mel into her.
I should have warned you about this, too. Subspace can be intense. It isn't uncommon to feel a drop after coming down from it. A drop in mood, in energy, in everything. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's my responsibility to look after you.
If you start to feel your mood turn, you need to tell me immediately, okay? Mel nodded. The car pulled to a stop outside Mel's apartment. Vanessa got out of the car and opened Mel's door. As Mel stepped out onto the sidewalk, Vanessa leaned over to say something to Elena through the window. Elena nodded and turned off the car.
Come on. Let's go.
Vanessa gestured toward the door to Mel's building. As soon as they entered her apartment, Mel was seized by a gnawing in her chest. Suddenly, the prospect of being left alone filled her with dread. In minutes, she had gone from feeling blissful and content to feeling raw and vulnerable. Upon seeing Mel's face, Vanessa's expression softened. "It's hitting you right now, isn't it?" Mel nodded. She felt like her insides were spilling out. "You're okay." Vanessa gathered Mel in her arms and planted a kiss on the top of her head. "You'll feel better once you're in bed." Vanessa tugged off Mel's coat. Mel collapsed onto the bed and curled up in a ball. Was Vanessa going to leave her now? And why did that suddenly bother her so much? Vanessa sat down on the edge of the bed and started typing into her phone. "I'm sending Elena home." Mel watched in surprise as Vanessa kicked off her shoes and shimmied out of her dress. For the second time that night, Vanessa hopped in the bed beside Mel. "You didn't think I was going to leave you like this, did you?" Mel opened her mouth to reply, but there was a lump in her throat that she couldn't get words past. "Oh, Melanie, I'm not going anywhere." Vanessa wrapped her arms around Mel's small frame. "All of these feelings, it's just subdrop, okay?" Mel nodded. "Don't just nod. Tell me that you understand."
"Yes, Vanessa, I understand."
Still, Mel hated herself for turning into such a miserable, needy mess.
"I'm sorry, I just..."
She trailed off. "Don't apologize. You have nothing to be sorry for. It's completely normal to feel like this. You made yourself deeply vulnerable to someone else. And now that it's all over and things are returning to normal, it's not unusual to feel a sense of emptiness." Vanessa kissed Mel gently on the lips. "Don't be so hard on yourself. You don't have to be strong all the time."
"Yes, I do," Mel murmured. "I've always had to be strong. I don't know how not to be."
"It's simple. All you have to do is close your eyes and let me take some of the weight off your shoulders." Vanessa pulled Mel in closer. "In fact, I'm ordering you to do that right now." Mel was too tired to do anything but obey. She shut her eyes and put her head on Vanessa's chest, losing herself in the other woman's warmth and softness. Her eyelids began to feel heavy.
"Thank you for staying with me."
"You don't need to thank me," Vanessa said quietly. "I would do anything to keep you from hurting." Chapter 12 Mel woke up the next morning wrapped in a cocoon of sheets, the aroma of coffee and cinnamon hanging in the air. Despite her aching muscles, she felt invigorated. She reached her arm out next to her. The other side of the bed was empty. Mel rolled over and picked up her phone from the nightstand. There was a message from Vanessa. "Had to go. Important meeting. Call me as soon as you wake up. V." There was a second message sent 10 minutes later. "Breakfast is on the counter. Eat something." Mel sat up groggily and looked across the room to the countertop that functioned as her kitchen. There was a large to-go cup of coffee and a paper bag bearing a logo of the bakery down the road. Vanessa brought her breakfast? Mel backtracked. Vanessa had been here in Mel's dingy little apartment, and she had stayed the night in Mel's bed? Mel flopped back down onto her stomach. She twisted her head around to inspect her aching cheeks. Faint bruises were starting to form. The events of last night came flooding back. The car ride, Lilith's den, the Scarlet Room, and then Vanessa holding Mel on the bed as she broke down in Vanessa's arms. Where had all those insecure, needy thoughts and feelings come from? Although Vanessa had said it was normal, Mel couldn't help but feel embarrassed by her momentary weakness. She felt fine now, Amazing, even. She would do it again in a heartbeat, sub-drop and all.
Mel looked at her phone. Vanessa's text had been sent less than 2 hours ago.
Would her meeting be over by now?
Mel didn't want to interrupt anything, but Vanessa had made it very clear that Mel should call her immediately. Her bossiness should have bothered Mel. It definitely would have, coming from anyone else.
Mel sat up and dialed Vanessa's number. Vanessa picked up the phone within two rings.
Give me a moment.
Mel heard voices in the background, then the sound of a door closing.
Melanie, how are you feeling? Vanessa asked.
Fine. Is your meeting over?
No, but it's nothing that can't wait 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Mel said.
Don't be. I wouldn't have told you to call me if I didn't mean it. Now, how do you feel, honestly?
Fine, really, although I am a bit sore.
Vanessa chuckled softly. It was the first time Mel had heard her laugh.
Well, that's to be expected. How's your mood?
Good. I feel great, actually.
No more sub-drop? Sometimes it can linger the next day.
Nope. I'm back to normal.
I'm glad.
She paused. I didn't want to leave you alone after last night, but I couldn't get out of this meeting.
It's okay. I'm fine, really.
Have you eaten anything?
Not yet. I just woke up.
As soon as you hang up, I want you to have breakfast and drink plenty of water. Your body needs to replenish itself after last night.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Mel hung up the phone. The warm, affectionate Vanessa of last night was gone, but she wasn't back to being cool and inscrutable. It was something in between. It made Mel wonder how much of Vanessa's hard, emotionless persona was an act, and how much of it was actually her.
Mel hopped out of bed and examined Vanessa's breakfast offerings. She didn't know why she was trying to figure Vanessa out. Things between them were supposed to be purely physical. But Mel was beginning to realize that what she and Vanessa were doing together required a level of intimacy that she hadn't anticipated. She remembered Vanessa's words about trust. If life had taught Mel anything, it was that the only person she could rely on was herself.
Mel sighed.
Things were starting to spin out of control. If she wasn't careful, it would be too easy for her to lose herself in both Vanessa and BDSM. Because for Mel, the two were inextricably intertwined.
The days that followed only left Mel feeling even more conflicted.
It's been 4 days, Jess.
Mel lay on the lawn with her friend, soaking in the sun between classes.
And nothing.
Why don't you just text her yourself?
Jess asked.
Because it would be weird. She's the one who always contacts me.
Mel knew how flimsy an excuse it was.
So you're supposed to sit around and wait for her to booty call you?
Jess peered at Mel from over her sunglasses.
That's pretty cold.
It's not like that. She's not like that.
Then what is it? Are you sure you're not just afraid of putting yourself out there?
Well, maybe a little, Mel said. It's complicated.
Only because you're making it complicated. Just call her.
Mel sighed.
Besides, she could just be busy. Didn't you say she has a demanding job?
Yeah, maybe you're right. In the past, Vanessa had gone for long periods without contacting Mel because of her busy schedule. But after the intimacy of that night at Lilith's, Mel felt like things between them had changed, that they had grown closer.
Honestly, I'm a little worried that I scared her away. Everything seemed fine when I talked to her the next day, but now...
Mel trailed off. It was all too familiar. She'd gotten too close to someone. She'd shown them her vulnerable side. And then they discarded her like she was nothing. Mel banished her thought. Vanessa wasn't Kim. And this was not a relationship.
Why do you think you scared Vanessa away? Did something happen?
Jess asked.
It's hard to explain. Mel considered her friend carefully. Jess wasn't shy when it came to her sex life, and Mel trusted her.
There's more to it than what I told you. Promise me you'll keep an open mind?
Sure. I'm as open-minded as they come.
Jess listened silently as Mel described the events of that night. When Mel reached the point when she and Vanessa had gone up to Mel's apartment, Jess interrupted her.
Oh yeah, sub drop.
Jess propped herself up on her elbow.
It makes everyone feel needy and depressed. It's totally normal.
Mel gaped at her.
What? Vanessa didn't explain it to you?
She did. I didn't know you were into that kind of thing.
Don't look so shocked, Mel. Do you think you're the only girl who likes getting tied up and spanked?
Jess grinned.
Anyway, it sounds like Vanessa knows what she's doing. Aftercare, checking up on you in the morning, it's pretty important. So I doubt something as common as subdrop fazed her. You have nothing to worry about.
You're probably right.
Mel turned to her friend.
So you've experienced it before? Subspace? Subdrop?
Yeah, a few times. Not for a while, though. Unlike you, I don't have some rich dom lover who owns a BDSM club.
Jess sat upright.
Wait. The club Vanessa took you to? Was it Lilith's Den?
Yeah. Do you know of it? Mel asked.
Of course. Everyone in the BDSM community has heard of it. But it's very exclusive. I've never been inside.
Wow. So Vanessa owns Lilith's.
Jess looked off into the distance.
I wish I had a girlfriend like her.
Just don't tell anyone, all right?
She is very private about the fact that she owns the place.
Yeah, no problem. And she's not my girlfriend.
Right. You just have an intense connection with her. You're exclusively seeing each other. And now you're going crazy because she hasn't texted you in a few days.
It isn't like that, Mel said.
Weren't all those things just part of the kinky game that Mel and Vanessa were playing? Mel suddenly remembered something that Vanessa had said as they drifted off to sleep that night.
I would do anything to keep you from hurting.
Had Vanessa really said that? Or was it a dream?
I wish I had someone who I felt as strongly about as you do with Vanessa. I spent most of my weekend dodging Brett's calls.
What? I thought you two broke up.
That was Brendan. I only just started seeing Brett. He's way hotter. Not much upstairs, though.
Mel raised an eyebrow.
But,
Jess shrugged.
He makes up for it in other ways. It's too bad he's as vanilla as they come.
Mel shook her head. Her phone buzzed. A text message. A slow smile spread across her face.
Tomorrow night. My room at the lounge, after your shift.
Another message followed shortly after.
I'm sorry that I've been out of touch.
Let me guess, Vanessa?
Yep, Mel said. Vanessa hadn't given an explanation, but she had apologized. And something told Mel that Vanessa didn't apologize very often.
Told you!
Jess lay back down and pushed up her sunglasses.
Nothing to worry about.
Chapter 13. Mel lay on the king bed in Vanessa's room above the lounge, her hot, sweaty limbs tangled with Vanessa's. A pair of handcuffs lay discarded on the bed beside them. Mel closed her eyes and let out a long, slow breath. The last few hours had silenced all of Mel's doubts. She had been right that the night at Lilith's Den had changed everything between her and Vanessa. Only it was for the better. They were more attuned to each other somehow, more connected. It was subtle, but unmistakable.
What are you smiling about?
Vanessa asked.
I feel like I'm on top of the world right now. Everything in her life was running smoothly. Law school, work, even her modest social life. For the first time in as long as she could remember, she was completely stress-free. Vanessa smiled and got up from the bed.
Drink?
Sure. Mel watched Vanessa walk over to the counter. She still found the sight of Vanessa's soft, white curves mesmerizing. Vanessa poured two glasses of whiskey and returned to the bed. Mel loved the taste of whiskey now. The way that every sip flooded her body with a pleasant warmth reminded her of Vanessa. Vanessa's phone rang. She looked at her cell, then quickly turned it off. She placed it aside and sat back on the bed.
Again?
This seemed to happen a lot. When it did, it was like Vanessa's mask would slip. She'd get a phone call. She'd ignore it, and she'd continue as if whatever it was hadn't bothered her. But she always seemed slightly rattled afterward. Mel couldn't help but wonder what could possibly shake someone like Vanessa. Despite their growing closeness, Vanessa was still mostly a mystery to Mel. Vanessa reached out and swept a lock of Mel's unruly hair out of her face.
It's your birthday in a few days.
A knot formed in Mel's stomach.
How did you find out?
It's in your employee records, Vanessa said.
I couldn't help but take a look. Do you have anything planned?
Not really.
Like every other year,
Mel had been planning to let the day pass without telling anyone.
That means I get you all to myself, Vanessa said.
Mel stared down into her lap.
What's the matter?
Mel shrugged.
I don't really like birthdays.
And why not? Mel gathered up the satin sheets around her and pulled them into her lap. They've always been disappointing for me. It was just me and Mom growing up, and she wasn't very good at that sort of thing, if she remembered at all.
I'm sorry. That must have been hard, Vanessa said.
It's no big deal.
So your birthdays were disappointing in the past. They don't have to be in the future.
Vanessa placed her glass down on the nightstand.
Let me give you the birthday you deserve. Let me spoil you.
Mel hesitated.
I don't know. Please?
Vanessa gave Mel a pleading look. Coming from Vanessa, it looked ridiculous. A smile broke out on Mel's face.
Okay, but nothing over the top.
Then I'll cancel the helicopter ride. Very funny. Mel smoothed out the sheets in her lap.
That was a joke, right?
Vanessa shrugged.
Maybe.
She placed her hand on Mel's.
I promise you, I'm going to make your birthday unforgettable. You'll love it.
Mel sighed. Vanessa had even more of a disarming effect on her than before. But it seemed to Mel that Vanessa was letting her guard down a little, too. Vanessa took Mel's glass and placed it on the nightstand next to her own.
You're the only person I've ever had to beg to let me spoil them.
She pushed Mel down by the shoulders, straddled her body, and pinned her wrists above her head.
I think you need a reminder of who you belong to.
Happy birthday, Mel, James said.
Mel looked at her watch. She hadn't even noticed that it was past midnight. Thanks, she said quietly. Like Vanessa, James must have found out from Mel's employee records.
What are you doing to celebrate?
Just spending time with a friend.
That's all?
James shook his head.
Why don't you come out for drinks with everyone after we close? Consider it an impromptu birthday party.
I don't think so. I'm not big on birthdays, Mel said.
Okay, how about this? I won't even tell anyone it's your birthday. As far as the others will know, it'll just be the usual after-work drinks.
Mel hesitated. She had been working hard lately, and she didn't have class until the afternoon. It couldn't hurt to have a little fun.
Come on, Mel, James said. Just this once. Live a little.
Mel held up her hands in defeat.
Sure, why not?
Great.
James leaned down against the bar.
So how do you feel about dancing?
Don't push your luck.
Mel grabbed her tray and walked off, knowing she was going to regret her decision in the morning. A few hours later, they had closed up shop, and James, Mel, and a handful of her co-workers were hanging out in a seedy bar a few blocks away from the lounge. It was one of the few places that was still open.
Mel! James yelled. Dance with me. It'll be fun.
How many drinks have you had, James? Mel asked.
Not nearly enough. He stood up. So are you coming?
He cocked his head toward the dance floor that the group had made by pushing some tables to the side.
No thanks, Mel said for the 10th time since they'd arrived. But you should go ahead and join the others.
Come on, show me your moves, Mel.
Why did James want her to dance with him so much? Mel let out a heavy sigh.
Look, James, you're a great guy, but I'm not interested in whatever it is that you want.
James looked at Mel blankly. Then he burst out laughing.
Did you think I was hitting on you?
Mel's face flushed.
Well, you're always so persistent.
Mel frowned. James was laughing a little too hard.
Oh, man!
His chuckles died off. James sat back down.
Sorry. Believe me, I'm not into you that way. I've just been trying to get you to come out of your shell a bit. You don't talk to anyone at work, so I figured you could use a friend. That's it.
He did have a point. Mel wasn't very sociable when it came to her job.
Besides, I'm gay.
James settled back in his chair.
You of all people should have a much better gaydar.
What? How do you know that I'm gay?
Mel asked.
I know about you and Vanessa, Mel.
How? Did she tell you about us?
Nope. James grinned. But you just did.
Mel cursed under her breath.
I had my suspicions. Vanessa and I have known each other since she opened the lounge. She hired me herself. After working with her for so long, we've gotten to know each other pretty well. I figured that there was something going on between you two, but she didn't seem inclined to share, so I didn't press her. You know how private she is.
James and Vanessa were friends?
Vanessa never talked about her friends, but Mel had assumed that they were more like the kind of people who went to the lounge, not the kind that worked there.
But it's pretty obvious.
James scratched his chin.
After that incident with that asshole customer, Vanessa became very interested in you. She kept asking me questions about you and would conveniently only come in on nights when you were working. And then she started sneaking you up to her room above the lounge late at night.
Mel flushed. She thought they were being discreet. James smiled.
I think you're good for her. She seems happy. She hasn't been in a relationship since Rose.
Hold up. We are not in a relationship.
He raised an eyebrow.
If you say so.
I'm serious. We're just having some fun, that's all.
Okay, okay. You can call it whatever you want.
Mel scowled at him. James took a gulp of his beer.
So, is she as bossy in bed as she is at work?
I am not discussing that with you, Mel said. She was saved from further questioning by the return of two of her co-workers, Ella and Christine. She didn't know them very well, but they seemed close to James.
So, how are things going with Ben?
Ella asked James.
You mean that, Ben?
She gestured toward the other end of the bar where Ben was standing.
Yep,
Christine said.
They've been flirting for months.
We all saw it coming a mile away.
How had Mel never noticed that there was anything going on between them? As the conversation continued around her, the handful of drinks she drank began to kick in, and Mel realized that she had been walking around with her head down for a long time now. She looked around. What else had she missed? She barely knew her co-workers, or had any real friends other than Jess. Was Jess right about Mel shutting everyone out? So, are you and Ben a couple now? Mel asked.
Yes. No.
James rubbed his beard.
We haven't talked about it yet.
James, are you blushing? Mel asked.
No.
He crossed his arms.
See, it's not so fun when you're the one getting interrogated, is it?
Mel said under her breath. Apparently not quietly enough, because the next thing Mel knew, all the attention was on her.
What does that mean?
Christine looked at Mel.
Do you have a juicy secret to share, Mel?
She sure does.
James got up.
Why don't you tell them about it while I go find Ben?
He shot Mel a mischievous look and headed to the bar. Half an hour and several drinks later, James returned. Ella and Christine had finally left Mel alone after she had given them just enough information about her mysterious lover to sate their curiosity. I'm going to kill you, James, Mel said.
Sorry, Mel.
He didn't look the slightest bit apologetic.
Those two are relentless when it comes to gossip. I had to get them off my back.
You owe me big time.
That's fair.
James sat down across from her. Mel leaned forward. You can make it up to me by telling me all about Rose.
Rose? Did I mention her?
You said she was Vanessa's ex. What happened between them?
James lowered his voice. It was a while back. I don't remember how they met or how things started. All I remember was that they were hopelessly in love. You could tell just by looking at them.
Vanessa? Really? Mel couldn't imagine Vanessa being overly affectionate like that, especially in public.
Yep.
James was oblivious to the hint of jealousy in Mel's voice.
Vanessa was a different person back then. And they seemed so happy together. But one day, out of nowhere, something happened between them. And then Vanessa basically disappeared for a few weeks. When she came back, she said that she and Rose were done, and that Rose was on her blacklist and banned from ever coming to the lounge or anywhere near Vanessa.
Wow. Do you know why they broke up?
Nope. She refused to tell anyone what happened. But whatever it was, it changed her. She became a bit more reserved, more serious, and since then, she hasn't let anyone get close to her.
He took a swig of his drink.
Except for you.
Mel sat back. The world was starting to spin. She tried to sift through everything James had told her in her head, then gave up. She didn't want to think about any of that right now. Mel just wanted to enjoy herself. Out of nowhere, Ben appeared at the table.
Hey, Mel.
He held out his hand.
Wanna dance?
Mel grinned at Ben.
Sure, why not?
Whoa, seriously? James said. I've been trying to get you to dance this whole time, and Ben asks you once and you say yes? I'm crushed, Mel.
Ben sighed.
Should we take him with us?
Probably. Come on.
Mel grabbed James's arm and pulled him onto the dance floor. Chapter 14. Mel picked up a pillow and squashed it over her head. Her ears were ringing and her limbs felt like lead. She groaned. Why had she agreed to go out last night after work? The last thing she remembered was dragging James onto the dance floor. Everything after that was a blur. Mel rarely drank enough to actually get drunk. She didn't want to end up like her mother. But she had really let loose last night.
The ringing continued.
It wasn't in her head. She rolled over to her nightstand and picked up her phone.
"Hello?"